What is one thing all kids have in common? They have moms. Right? I mean, you might have had a different answer, but all kids... Do you have a mom? This was the answer, if you didn't hear it. You have a mom? And you have a nice tie, too. That's sharp. Check out my new tie. See that? Very nice, huh? So what happened to you? You didn't wear a tie. That's all right. I like giving kids a hard time. They can handle it well. All right, so let's talk about things moms do. Things that moms do. For example?
Take care of you.
Take care of you. Well, that's pretty broad. Things moms do.
Sew.
Sew. Very good. Excellent. Great job. Things that moms do.
They feed you.
Feed you. Clothe you. Care for you. What's something mama does?
Feed the babies.
Feed the babies. Feed all the babies. All the babies. Let's see. Things that moms do. You got any answers over there? Things moms do.
Party.
Throw birthday parties. Yeah, throw birthday parties. Things that moms do. Pray for their kids. Things that moms do. Work. Chauffeur. Chauffeur. I thought I heard pay the bills because you could have said that too. Laundry for 18 years and then some whenever the kids are home visiting. More laundry. Discipline their children in love. Fair but firm. Oh, what else?
They love you.
They love you. Very good. In fact, that's a good one to end on because we want to thank... Oh, but we got more. Good.
They spend time with other moms.
Good. Spend time with other moms. Maybe helping them or maybe getting advice from them. That's very good. Excellent.
They knit and they spend time with their friends.
Spend time with friends and knit. Is that what you said? Yes. Knit and sew and patch and... there's a needle and thread theme here in the Russell household. Did I miss any? But I like what Beth said. They love. And so that's what we want to focus on this morning. Okay. Oh, you got one?
Jesus.
Jesus. They tell about Jesus. They love Jesus. They sing to Jesus. Very good. That's a great answer. And what?
God.
And God. And the Bible. Very good. Head on back or up the children's church, wherever you're headed. Very good. You know, Art Linkletter was kind of before my time, but not really. I read his book, Kids Say the Darndest Things. How many remember that? Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darndest Things. Yeah. And you, if you're a younger generation, you can still get that book in the library, and it's a great one. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 15. And Coach read these words for us this morning. The title of the message today is No Greater Love. And we want to talk about the love of Jesus and the love of moms who know Him and love Him. John chapter 15, just one verse this morning. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Today is Sunday, the Lord's Day, and so I want to exalt our Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically for his love for us. But today is also Mother's Day, and so I want to not exalt, but encourage our moms, and specifically for their love for us. And so to that end, let's look at the text. Jesus here, who is the Lord God, who is God in the flesh, who is Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus here on the night before he was crucified for our sins, he said to his disciples, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. The word for life here is psuche or soul. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his soul. But the soul stands for one's inner self, one's person, one's breath, and all that goes with it. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life, their breath, and all that goes with that, their desires, their own will, their own interests. To lay all that down means to put all that aside. Earlier in John 13, Jesus took his outer garment and he put it aside. It's the same word here. To put something aside, to lay it aside for some purpose. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down, put aside one's own life for his friends. Or the word may be translated for his loved ones. The word for friends is philos, from which Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia, you might call it the city of what? Brotherly love. The Adelphia part is the brotherly part. The phila part, P-H-I-L-A, is the love part, love of brothers. And the word here is phila, or philos, loved ones. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life or put aside one's own soul for his loved ones. Now, for them means for their sake. This is what Jesus said to his own disciples the night before he laid down his life for them and for us. Something that Jesus did willingly. Something he did gladly, in fact. In John 10:18, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of myself, meaning of my own will. I do this gladly. This is the command I received from my Father. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord for the love that he demonstrated for us on the cross. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his loved ones, for his friends, for his beloved, for his own. No wonder they cry out with a loud voice in heaven saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 5:12. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ and his love. Now what, if anything, does that have to do with moms or with being a mom? And specifically, what does that have to do with being a mom who loves Jesus? Why did Jesus tell his disciples, and why does the Spirit of God tell you about the greatest love there is? Because there's no greater love than this, right? Why say there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's own friends? Is there some way for a disciple of Christ, for a mom who loves Christ, is there some way for a disciple to demonstrate such love other than actually dying on a cross? What if someone was to take up her cross daily and die daily? What if someone, like a mom, out of a love for God, out of a love for Christ, out of a love for her own friends, her own loved ones, what if someone like that was to lay down her life for her loved ones one day at a time and was to do it willingly, gladly, to say, I lay down my own life one day at a time for my loved ones? Wouldn't that be like Christ? And I thought, what would that look like? What would that look like? So this morning, I want you to imagine something with me. You may close your eyes if that helps you to imagine this. And by the way, the imagination is a gift from God. You have something called an imagination, which Webster says is that power of the mind whereby we can picture things, especially the ideal in order that we might pursue it. Right? The imagination is that power you have of the mind to picture things, especially the ideal, that we might pursue it. And so I want you to employ your imagination this morning and imagine with me a photo album, which I have here, as you can see. On the cover, at the top, in large gold letters, Mom's Life. At the bottom, a scripture reference. Oh, nice gold letters, small script. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Oh, and there in the picture, in the center of the cover is a picture. Mom with her loved ones. Ah, she looks happy. Very happy. Probably one of those most happiest moments of my life. Moments. Well, what do you think? Should we open this? Do you want to? Would you like to look at some pictures? I know that's a lost art in America. But, you know, in Russia, if you go to anyone's house, if it's the first time, you better bring your photo album. They want to see pictures. If you visit Russia, take your photo album with you or prepare one if you don't have one. But what do you think? Are you up for looking at a few photographs? You know what? Even if you're not, that's what we're going to do. So let's open it up. All right. Page one. Oh, boy. Well, it says at the bottom, expecting. This is a page full of pictures of Mom in her various pregnancies. Oh, there she is. 3 months, just starting to show. 6 months. Whoa. 8 months. This one here is all out front. What do you think? It's a boy? All out front? Maybe. Could be a boy. We don't know. You know, isn't it amazing? We talk about things moms do. The kids didn't say this one. Isn't it amazing? Moms carry you. Or they carry a little baby in their belly for 3 out of 4 seasons in the year. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, winter, spring, and then ding, the timer goes off, and it's time to bring something out of the oven. Mom has to do a little laying aside of her life to make that happen, doesn't she? Sure. Interesting, though, as I look at these pictures, in all of these pictures of Mom carrying the baby, she's smiling. It's as if she's carrying this baby gladly. Well, that's page one. Should we turn the page and see what happens? You good with that? All right. Oh, wow. Okay. This one says blood, sweat, and tears at the bottom. And that looks like a fitting title because I see all three. Delivery rooms, hospital beds, and one caption says, push! And nice little pictures of all her babies. All her babies. Some moms have more than others, right? Isn't it amazing how moms, something else they do, moms suffer labor pains, some more than others. I know they have drugs these days, help you get through that time. But moms suffer labor pains, which we men here can be pretty intense. Moms, is it true? Labor pains don't hurt. Though they do hurt. They do hurt. All right, just making sure, just confirming here. Moms suffer these labor pains, but you know what's interesting? In the end, as I look at these pictures of Mom with her various newborn babies, she looks a little worn out, but she's smiling. She had to do a little bit of laying aside of her life to make that happen, didn't she? Looks like she's doing it gladly. Should we keep going? You up for more photos or that's it? Come on, let's see what happens. Aw, that's cute. Whoa. Okay, this one is entitled Sleepless Nights, Food Fights, and dot, dot, dot. So let's see. All right, well, there are a few pictures here of Mom, dimly lit room. The clock on the wall in one of these says 2:30. I would take that to be a.m. Mom is looking tired, but she's smiling. Sleepless nights. How many moms have endured sleepless nights? Show of hands. There are a few moms that have never had that. And so we need to talk to you about how to have a perfect baby. But otherwise, some of you have had some sleepless nights. Now, the title was Sleepless Nights and Food Fights. And there's one picture here. Junior is in the high chair. Mom has a little jar of, it looks like green mush. I'm guessing peas or beans. And the other one is orange mush. What is that? Carrots, sweet potatoes, yams, pumpkin. It doesn't matter. They all taste the same. Which Junior would tell you because he has half of each jar on his face. Food fights. And in this corner, in the high chair, weighing in at 21 pounds, the defending champion, Buster, I ain't eating no more of them carrots, Mama McGillicuddy. And that's a terrible Howard Cosell, but some of you remember him. Mom is not smiling. But she's still doing it. She's not smiling, but she's still doing it. One of the kids said, she feeds us. Not only that, she teaches us how to feed ourselves. That's good. Okay, now the caption said, sleepless nights, food fights, and the remaining pictures portray another battle that moms fight with their toddlers somewhere in the age 2 to 4 range. What is it, moms? Body training. And so I'm not going to give the deets, like the young guys like to say on this. I'm not going to go to the details on these pictures, but the one with Junior holding the chieftain is kind of cute. All right, moving right along. Should we, page 4? You go with page 4? Whoa, time flies. The heading here is a scripture reference, Psalm 118:24. Can anyone quote it? Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, or let us rejoice, and be glad in it. The day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Very good. You know that one. And this one, this page, is a collage of memorable moments. It looks like some memorable firsts. First haircut. Who remembers that? Junior is crying. Mom is laughing. First day of school. Remember that? Junior is laughing. Mom is crying. Oh, here's one. Looks like baby's first book. Oh, it's a Bible. Yes. Pastor is laughing and happy. I like that. But how time flies. First car. First car. How time flies. Don't close your eyes. Before you know, they're grown and gone. Oh, here's one. First friend, in quotation marks, as in more than a friend. Oh, they're a cute couple. First day of college. And there's the car, packed to the gills. Junior's laughing. Mom's, she's crying. And you wonder why, right? Because if you're the college kid, Mom, why are you crying? You should be happy. I'm going to college. Well, here's why. For 18 years, plus or minus, she has been sacrificing to get him to this point, and now you have to make another sacrifice. It's just time to say a very difficult goodbye, and there will be many more of these. By the way, I said that she's been making a lot of sacrifices to get Junior to this point where he or she can go to college, or juniorette. And I asked some moms in the church this week, what kinds of sacrifices do moms make over the years for their loved ones? And I got a few responses. Thank you for those who responded. For those who didn't, next year, I have your name on the list because you didn't respond. And next year, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just picking. One mom said this, I went hunting and fishing with the boys, not because I like hunting and fishing, but because that's what they were into. How many moms took up their kids' hobbies? Sure. I see some sons who are saying their moms took up their hobbies. That's all right, too. Actually, when I heard that one, it reminded me of the time when I went squirrel hunting, and I actually got a squirrel. I know you might not like that, but anyways, I brought the squirrel home, and Mom was there, and I had no clue what to do with this thing. I got a squirrel, Mom. She says, well, we need to clean it. So I stuck it under the spigot. Is it clean? No. And I'm not sure that Mom knew what she was doing any more than I did. She just wanted to help. So together, we cleaned that squirrel. And I think there's a picture in somebody's photo album of me holding the squirrel and Mom pulling the skin off. And I'm pretty sure that she made squirrel pot pie out of that squirrel. Another mom said, I gave up my job as an international and domestic flight attendant to stay home and be with my son. It'd be fun to have a trivia game to ask if you can identify that person. And we're not going to ask. No, it's not fair. I know that some can. But I'm sure that there are moms who can relate with the idea of giving up your job or your career. Maybe you had a decent paying job. Maybe you had a very decent paying job. But to stay home with the kids, you gave that up. Another mom said, I went to every game my kids ever played. Soccer, baseball. How many moms went to all the games? Or you tried to go. Sure, you went. These are the kinds of sacrifices moms make. Another mom said, I went shopping almost every Saturday with my 14-year-old daughter, not because I like shopping with a teenager, but because she asked me to go, and she enjoyed it, and now we share many memories of those times. I also helped my son with costumes for his scouting ceremonial dance team. I didn't know there was a scouting ceremonial dance team, but there is, or there was. And I helped my son with his costumes, and I had to take vacation time from work to do it because it was very important for him to have the costume. These are the kinds of things moms do. Moms do a lot, do they not? Yeah, they do. They cut hair. They nurse boo-boos. They give back rubs. Help me out here. They blank blank. What do? They give help. They give money. What else? Help me out. They take them to the emergency room, and they bring them back home again, and they stay there while they're there. What else do moms do? Surely you know. They cook and clean, and they cook and clean some more. What else do they do? Spank. I remember the time Denise called me. I was at work, and the boys were little. And she's kind of crying. She said, honey, I know you told me, and we learned this, that we're supposed to spank the kids, but I've been spanking them all day because they keep disobeying. And I said, honey, keep going. Don't stop now. What else do they do? What do moms do? Shop, well, they might give them up for adoption. And you know what? Some moms give their babies up for adoption. Why? Because they know, I can't do it. But somebody has to. And sometimes that is their expression of love. To say, I don't have what it takes. I'm 14, I'm 15. I can't raise this little baby. I wasn't ready for this. I didn't mean this. And in love for that child, they give up the baby for adoption. And other moms adopt that baby and raise them as their very own. These are the things that moms do. They fix broken toys, and then later they fix broken hearts. One mom said to me this week, that when my son was going through his lowest point in life, I knew he needed a friend who would be there for him. I moved to the state where he was living and lived in his house like a servant until he was back on his feet again. That's sacrifice, isn't it? Moms stand and cheer from the stands, and then they bow their knees and heads at night and again in the morning and pray, pray, pray. And they ride an emotional roller coaster, don't they? And they hang on for dear life. This week on Tuesday morning, it was the highlight of the week. I had great joy in surprising Denise with the fact that Jake was coming home. She didn't know. It was a big secret, a big surprise. And so Tuesday morning we got up, and I had told her that Dan and Katie Olson were moving to their new place in Denver, which was true, and that we needed to drive to Denver, which also was true. So I don't want you to think that I lied. See how those two, Dan and Katie, are moving to a new place in Denver? We need to drive to Denver. And then I saw her get dressed up in her scrubbies to help somebody move, and I thought, it's time to let this cat out of the bag. And so I looked at my closet, and I said, I feel like I need to wear something that says Navy. And she says, why? And I put my arm around her, and I said, because your boy's coming home today. And we cried together halfway up I-25. But it's not time for that now, right? Those are tears of joy. That was the highlight. Then was the low light. See, because Jake came home to see Mom and surprise her for Mother's Day, but he also came home for one last hiking, backpacking adventure with dear old Dad. So we made a deal. The deal was that Jake and his buddy Andrew would drop me off halfway up the mountain at base camp. I would set up camp, and they were going to go on all the way to the top of the mountain, Greenhorn Mountain, and they would snowshoe. And the plan was they would go up and they would snowshoe, and they would be back in time for supper. Of course, I figured I'll be a good camp, you know, ranch hand, and I'll have the fire going, and I'll be ready to put the enchiladas, which Mom made the night before, on the fire, and dinner will be ready. But 7 o'clock came and went, and they're not back. 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. This is not according to plan, and all they had was a bag of Chex Mix and some peppered beef jerky. So I called Denise, and I said, hey, you need to pray. Something's gone wrong here. This is not according to plan. And I laid awake all night wondering what could have happened. Denise laid awake all night wondering the same, waiting, hoping to get some text from me saying, hey, they showed up. They didn't show up. And so the next morning, I got up, and I called the forest ranger. They said, you need to call the sheriff's department. I called the sheriff's department. They said, we need to send a deputy up there. And you sit tight. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I cannot sit tight. Because I had with me a motorcycle, which we'd hauled up on the back of the truck, and they dumped me off of my tent and the bike and all the food at base camp. So I decided I'll drive my motorcycle halfway up the mountain or three-quarters of the way up. I'll meet the sheriff's deputy and ride up together with him, which I did. And just as we are near the top of the mountain, here they come down the other way, and the sheriff says, busted. That was his word. They're busted. Well, it was, as I had expected, the truck got stuck in the snow, and it took about 24 hours to get it out. And they had just gotten it out 15 minutes before, and pretty much they spent all that time getting the truck unstuck, except for a couple hours of sleep and eating a bag of Chex Party Mix. What's the point? Moms ride an emotional roller coaster, right? They don't stop sending their kids out hiking. Moms do all these things. They love. They serve. They cook. They clean. They pray and pray and pray. And they worry and pray some more. All right, back to our imaginary photo album. 3 pages left. Should we keep going? All right. Page 5. What? Wedding day. Junior's looking good in his tux. Big grin on his face. He's laughing. Mom's crying. But it's tears of joy. Right, moms? Right. Page 6. What? More kids? A little late for... Oh, wait, nope. The caption says, grandchildren, finally! Exclamation point. Smiley face. Boy, and look at them all. These people are like the Comden family. Holy cow, these kids must be taking Go Forth and Multiply seriously. As they should, by the way. I am more convinced of that now than when I was a young man. I sadly learned late in life that you should take Go Forth and Multiply seriously. Son. I learned that one a little late in life, but no regrets. God is good. I'm thankful for the two, and I'm sure that every mom here is thankful for however many children she has. Well, there's one last page in this photo album. I wonder, should we look at it? Maybe not. Because you know what? We know how every mom's life ends, don't we? We'd like her to be around forever. But we know the truth. So should we turn the last page? Let's turn it. There's no picture. There's just a letter from Mom. It looks like a little poem. Should I read it? My first love was Jesus, as I hope you all know. And my desire in this life was that I might show to you all the same love that he showed to me by laying down my life for you one day at a time, joyfully. Because greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And my prayer for you all is that you would love each other the same way to the end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for moms. We thank you for the sacrifices that they make, one day at a time, one act at a time. We thank you, Father, for their love for us. We thank you, Father, for their care, how they feed us and clothe us and clean up after us. And Father, I pray for the young moms that are here today, those whose kids are still at home. And I pray, Father, for them that they would love as Jesus loves us, laying down their lives for their loved ones. That's a great ministry for which there are no regrets. And I pray, Father, for the older moms who are here today, those who have raised their kids and are now enjoying or not as much the empty nest. I pray, Father, that those older women would teach the younger women, both in their families and in the church, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, homemakers, workers at home, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. Father, I pray for all of our moms, that they would, although they already know how to love, that they would excel still more. In Jesus' name, amen.